The scripture this morning will be taken from Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. Matthew 24 is about the destruction of the temple and sign of the end, and we pick it up in verse 4. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name claiming that I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains." Wherever possible, let's kneel for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, it is such a pleasure and an honor to be in your presence this morning in this place. We just thank you for the promise that you have given us, that where two or three are gathered, that you will be there. Dear Father, we know that you are here with us. Dear Father, you see the things that are going on in this world, and we just ask this morning that you will give us understanding, that you will give us clarity of mind, and above all, dear Father, that you will give us strength of faith to stand for you. May we never forget who you are, what you have done for us, and that you are coming back soon for us. We pray, dear Father, for those who can't be with us this morning for whatever that reason may be. We know that some are sick and just not feeling well, and we ask that your healing hand will be with them. Dear Father, we look at this world, and it has fallen apart, but we still know that you are in control. Continue to guide us, Lord. Give us strength and courage each day to stand for you. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming soon. And I take joy in that. And I'm not afraid. I'm just happy. Because I know that soon the King is coming to take me home. Before I go into the sermon this morning, I have to admit it's been a struggle. This past week, I've been praying a lot. Because it seems like the perfect occasion for some people to raise fear within the Christian community. And just to clarify, I didn't prepare this sermon. I didn't plan this. It's not my sermon. It's a series this church is going through right now. The pastor put this together a while ago, and this is the sermon that happened to be the one for today. And so my goal is not for you to be scared, to be out of here, just freaking out, but for you to take hope, to find hope in what we have in the Bible, what the Bible says about, I guess I need to choose the presentation. Okay, there we go. What the Bible says about the second coming and about the things that are happening in our world today. As you see the title, Planet Inhibal, I freaked out when Pastor gave me this because there was material to preach sermons for 52 Sabbaths, and I was like, there's no way I can preach this in 30 minutes, but I'll try. I'll do my best. We'll be out of here as soon as possible, I promise. And we'll have the message, the most important thing. So I just want to pray. I've been praying already, but I want to pray this morning before we go into it to ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us listen, to open, so we can open our heart and to receive the message that God wants us to receive in this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath. We thank you for the opportunity you have given us to be here, worshiping your name. Thank you for the people who made it to church in this morning. Thank you for those who stayed home to stay safe. Please bless them, and may your Holy Spirit also deliver this message to all of us, not just to those listening at home, but also those in here. Thank you for your word and the hope that we find in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The planet in upheaval. Everywhere I go, if I go to Facebook or Instagram, if I go to work, if I'm texting my family, if I come to church, the only thing I hear is about COVID-19, coronavirus disease. And it's everywhere. And the world is freaking out about it. We have climate. The climate is changing. The crime is increasing. Political tension here and there. The world seems to be in chaos. There's no peace anywhere. What is going on? What's happening? And I have a question. For those people who just wait for something big to happen, a big hurricane, a big earthquake, a disease to come and wipe everyone out, do we really have to wait until that to happen so we can preach that Jesus is coming soon? Shouldn't we be preaching that since a long time ago? Yes. Things have been happening since the beginning of history, since after Jesus went to heaven and he said things that were going to happen. We've seen earthquakes. We've seen hunger. We've seen wars. There's multiple things I've seen that fulfill the prophecy of things that will happen in the latter days. So let us take a look in the light of the Bible to what Jesus said it will happen. And this he said 2,000 years ago. Jesus is talking to, he's walking past the temple and he's talking to his disciples. And as they look at the building and they're amazed, this building that we have, this is what we have. And the disciples, you know, they're still rejoicing in what they have. They're so proud. They look at the building. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 2 says, "Do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, no one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Jesus was absolutely right. 40 years later, what happened? Year 70, a group of known as the Zealots came and just burned the house down and everything was destroyed. At first, when Jesus said that, they thought he was crazy. Are you crazy? What are you talking about? This is a huge building. This is like the greatest thing we have. And no one will dare to destroy it. And we will fight for it and we'll defend it. But what happened? It was destroyed. Then, there was someone called Titus who actually tried to save the temple. He thought that it was pointless to destroy such a beautiful building. But it was too late by the time he tried to save the temple because it was already in fire and the gold had melted and it was worthless. So he couldn't do it. So today in the city of Rome, there's a commemorative arch of one edge of the Roman Forum known as the Arch of Titus. In that arch is in memory of that temple and that what happened at that time. If you look inside the arch, we can see that picture. There's the soldiers carrying this. They're just carrying some artifacts from the temple just to remember that destruction. Now let's go back to the text. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 says, the disciples then were like, what are you talking about? Why is the temple going to be destroyed? So Jesus says, they said, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Let's pass on the word deceive, because it's a very important word that we're going to be talking and pointing out today. The word deceives. What does that word mean, deceive? The word deceive. Something that is false. Yeah. What Jesus is saying is, take heed that no one deceives you, because he knew what was about to happen then, back then, for the people, and then in our days as well. Jesus said this because, look at the next verse. He said, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Verse 6 says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. If all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So when someone uses fanaticism or sensationalism or something like that, and misuse and take this verse out of context to say that the end is here and people prepare and you should be scared, probably they're trying to deceive you, just as Jesus said, in one way, because Jesus was actually talking about the false Christ that were to come. But it happened also that people tried to deceive you with something with a different message that is to be preached. And Jesus keeps talking. He says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. When will be Jesus' return then? Jesus says, you know that it's going to be close. Watch for all of these things. When you see this false Christ, when you see the wars increase, when you see the famine and the pestilence and the earthquakes, then watch out. And what Jesus says is, it's almost the end, but not yet. So I'm sorry to disappoint anybody in here who thinks it's the end, and this is the end of the world, and we have to come and get ready. Yes, we have to be ready at all times. But the Bible is telling me that when we see all of this, the increase of wars and disease and famine and all of that, the end is near. It's not the end yet. So the message for us is to be prepared. Some people will be a skeptic and not believe that, but this is what the Bible says. And some people, as we said before, I actually wrote an article for one of my classes this week about Ellen White's view on the great conflict, the great controversy that we're living today. And the assignment was choose from the news a topic, something that happened either in your city or near your city as near as possible, and report on that and apply Ellen White's view on the great controversy, what do you think she would say about that? What do you think Ellen White would say about everything that's going on today? Is it part of the great controversy? Did Ellen White talk about health? Will Ellen White ask us to be cautious and to stay healthy and to wash our hands, which apparently we were not doing before? And not to go too far, we apparently were not using toilet paper either. Seriously, it doesn't make sense to me, but Ellen White will ask us to be healthy. And so we cannot deny that the end times in the latter days that we are living and that we're facing, that we're seeing, it shows us that we are in the end. And this great controversy is getting out of control. And the only one who can bring peace and control to our minds is Christ, is Jesus. It's important, the next verse says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then I am impressed because if this is only the beginning, I cannot imagine the end. I mean, I can imagine the end because I know we're going to go home. It doesn't scare me. But if this is the beginning, all of this mess, brothers and sisters, let us get ready. Because Jesus is coming soon. So there's a question. How many of the ladies who are in here today have had a baby? Had a baby, okay? You, I had a baby before. When the baby is almost arriving, how is that like? It's painful. You ready to get that out? Ready to be done with it, right? So it doesn't happen all of a sudden, right? It's not that you're like working at work and then in this minute you're working with something and next minute a baby pops out. Like, no. It takes a process of what? 9 months. And there's things, and you have the women have to be careful and have, you know, be careful with their nutrition and all of this. There's things that have to happen. So I remember this story because I was there. I was in fifth grade, and my dad's friend, I used to eat at their house for some time. That was before I went to the orphanage. And she was pregnant, very pregnant. And all of a sudden, she said, oh, I'm not feeling well. Can you please take me to the hospital? And the husband was like, don't you think that's a little bit exaggerated? Like, you're just not feeling well right now. Like, why will I take you to the hospital? And then she was like, please take me to the hospital. And she almost passed out because she was like, it was probably serious. And the husband didn't think it was that serious, but he carried her, put her in the car, took her to the hospital, carried her out. As soon as he put her in the bed, the baby came out. And the doctors and the nurses were freaking out because he just put her there and the baby came out. It was like the most, like the easiest, smoothest way they've seen a baby come out ever. And I remember that I'm like, it doesn't happen that way. It's usually a process. Like my mom told me the story on how it happened when I was going to be born. She was on a bus on her way to visit my grandma, and like at 4 p.m., she broke waters in the bus, and then they had to get off in there, and they took the last bus to Santiago, the big city, again. But then when they got there, it was dark, and they couldn't find transportation to the hospital, and they finally found a taxi driver who was willing to take them for like extra money, and so they took her to the hospital, and she got there. They didn't have beds. So she was ultimately taken to a little like clinic that didn't have equipment or anything. That's where I was born. And by the time she actually got to a bed, it was like midnight. And so they have to go through some procedures. And Sabbath morning on February 16, 1991, I was born. And my mom said she didn't expect me to be alive at that time. But thankfully, I was. So it's not easy. And things get complicated and things get painful. And people get frustrated sometimes because things don't go as planned. And And you can never have a plan because you don't know. I mean, people plan it and put dates and stuff and there's C-sections and all of that. But there's a process. It's not just all of a sudden. So how big are the constructions of the world today? Because Jesus compared this process of his second coming to a mother when it's giving birth. And the child is almost to come, and the struggle that goes through, but then after the child is born, what happened? The mother forgets all the pain, and he forgets all everything that happened. And the joy of holding that baby, you mothers who have experienced that, you know that, is greater than anything you suffered before. So the question is, how big are the contractions? So now I want to be careful. I'm going to tell you what we're not going to do here. We're not going to try and pick a date for the second coming of Christ. It's not happening today. I don't do that. We had enough with the great disappointment in 1844. But we know that the end is near. Jesus says in Matthew 24:36 that no man knows the day or the hour of Jesus' second coming. So it's biblical. We cannot set a day because the Bible says not to. In Acts chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus tells his disciples that we can't know the times or seasons either, so we're not allowed to know exactly when Jesus will come. But Jesus warns us of when the end will come, right? So, if you want to know exactly when Jesus will come, sadly, we won't know. It's not a legal arrangement or something that we can make with Jesus. If we knew when Jesus was going to come, if the world knew, everybody will wait until the last minute. And I'm speaking from my student point of view, because procrastinating is a thing. And you lose as much time as you can. And then in the last minute, you try to get a 500 essay word ready before turning it in. And so if we knew when Jesus was coming and what the deadline was, we'll be just doing whatever we want. And in the last minute, we'll come, pray on our knees, read our Bible, and God forgive me, and I'm ready for your second coming. And it doesn't work that way. We have to be ready. And the good thing is that Jesus said, this will happen, this will be the signs, and you have to be ready because at any moment will happen and it's going to be hard, but in the end it's going to be worth it and it's going to be beautiful. But it's not going to be easy. So let's go to what Jesus called signs of the end. And we're going to notice three things. First, religious signs, then political signs, and then natural signs. And I'm rushing through it because we actually have no time to see all of this. But we can see religious signs, and I'm going to just sum it all. We've seen how in the religious world, for example, when Jesus said that people would be trying to be the Christ, we see how many people throughout history have appeared saying, I am the Christ, or I am Jesus. And the horrendous things they're done to deceive people. So remember the word. Make sure you're not deceived. And so the signs are religious, are political, and natural things that will happen. So this is a creepy Jesus. I don't like Jesus' images. They can be the most beautiful one, and I like them. But it's in the sermon. I couldn't cut it out, so we'll have to enjoy it. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. What Jesus says, right? So, notice again the word deceive. In the religious aspect, in the latter days, he says, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's what the Bible says. So we have to be aware of false Christs or false prophets all false teachers, all false pastors who are out there teaching what the Bible doesn't say. And there's a long list of people who pretended to be Jesus and to pretend to bring salvation out there. For example, there's this Sir Song Myung-moon. He pretended to be Jesus, and they have massive weddings, and in their massive weddings, thousands of people, you know, attend. And it seems like really harmless until you start to listen to his sermons. And then you realize that he claimed to be the second coming of Christ, and he claims that Jesus or God is living in him and that he will bring the end of the world. Totally messed up. This other one, he in 1969, this guy, he called himself the Savage Messiah. So he's trying to be the Messiah and pretending to be Christ. I also have Jim Jones. This one, some of you remember some of those. In the 1970s, he started in San Francisco and eventually moved to Johnstown, Guyana. He basically told people to take their lives so they could be safe. It's basically what he did. David Koresh, someone else who, in 1990, pretended to preach the name Vernon Howell, changed his name to David Koresh. David because of the King David, and Koresh is the name for saying that he was the Persian King Cyrus, and everything was messed up with him. Marshall Applewhite, 1997, police in San Diego found the bodies of 39 people where he told them to take their lives because there was a saucer behind one of those asteroids, and if they wanted to be saved, they needed to take their lives, and their souls would go in that saucer. And it was terrible. So he pretended to be Christ and deceived people. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "In the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Is that true in the world today? Yes, it is. Just a few years ago, the Barna Group asked North American Christians a number of very important questions. Let's take a look at those questions. Question number one: God is the all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe who rules the world today. 78% said yes. The thing is that should have been 100%. Where is the rest? Next question. Jesus sinned while living on earth. 39% of Christians agree or strongly agreed. Where is our Bible knowledge? Another question. The Holy Spirit is a symbol of God's power or presence, but is not a living entity. 58% of people agreed on that. Do we really believe in the Holy Spirit? We're being deceived. And so that's for religious signs. Political signs. Let's take a look at Matthew 24:6. It says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." With all these hot wars, it's tragic to see the world's condition today. The question again, is this true in the world today? Are we seeing wars? Yeah, we're seeing wars. 203 million died as a result of warfare in the 20th century. Of course, we'll say that of all these hot wars. In the 19th century, we used to line up facing each other and killing each other with rifles. In the 20th century, then came the airplanes and atomic bombs. And now in the 21st century, we have drones and airplanes flying on skyscrapers. We're seeing how the war is getting out of control. There are currently, at least as of this, when this sermon was created probably 3 years ago, 42 armed conflicts being fought in the world. That's 42. And apparently Wikipedia keeps up-to-date records of it, so you can actually Google it, and it's true. Everyone on the UN's and 193 members' nation is party to a territorial trade or other international dispute. The 8 countries with no nuclear weapons have enough warheads to kill off the human race 50 times over in less than an hour. There's no doubt man can do that. There's no doubt God won't allow it. And I say amen. James chapter 5, verse 1 to 3 says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days." According to this, the recession of the 2008, if you remember that, was just a warm-up of things that were happening. People were just freaking out about it. But let's take a look at natural signs then. Going back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, "And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places." I could just close the sermon right here, because what we're living today is exactly this verse. I actually don't have to even talk or tell you about it. You're seeing it with your own eyes, not with mine. Countless millions face food shortage in sub-Saharan Africa. A child dies of starvation every 6 seconds in the world. 3 million in Somalia are dependent on food aid. There's hunger in the world. More than 1 billion people are without basic nutrition. And 4 out of 5 children are born into families who cannot afford to feed them. What is going on in the world today? We go to pestilences. We have a list with date of diseases that have been coming one after each other, after another, including this one that we have. And the one that you see, the SARS, is basically, I guess this one is like a mutation, like it's related to that one. But I won't stop to talk about this because we're experiencing it. Earthquakes. There's also a list of earthquakes, and there's a graphic I think that I probably want to show. This is a study some people did, and they went to a library, geological library, and they found something very interesting. After Jesus went to heaven, when he said that earthquakes will happen, between the year 1 and 300, there was one major earthquake that happened in the world. One within 300 years. But then in the next 200 years, two happened. And these are major earthquakes. They didn't have how to measure like the small ones. This just those earthquakes that shake down the buildings and destroyed everything. In the graphic shows how they almost keeps like steady until like the 1100. But then after that, you can see how it goes steady one by one. But in the 1600, it goes up to 7. Major earthquakes that happen. Then after the 1600s, in the 1900s, it goes up. So in the 1800s, it doubles it. in the 1700s and the 1800s and the 1900s, 130. And now, if we look at, you can see that, for example, in 2004, the Asian tsunami, 19.3 magnitude, is the first to be felt by every device on Earth, and it's the longest on record. It lasted 10 minutes. Now, imagine 9.3 magnitude for 10 minutes. That is massive. Keep going. We can ask again, what time is it? And it's 12:18, I'm almost finishing. But you have seen the things and the wars and the diseases and everything that's been happening today. And I'm rushing through all of this because we don't have time. We get to the hurricanes. We've seen hurricanes devastate the states and some other islands. Last year we saw that. The earthquake in Haiti, I experienced that. I wasn't in Haiti, but the Dominican is the same island. And I felt it a little bit. No one knew what happened until like hours later. That earthquake took more than 150,000 lives in a matter of minutes. I mean, not everybody died. When the earthquake happened, they died later, probably, some of them. But imagine that. And that's just in earthquakes. And I keep rushing through it. The world is armed. There are civil wars in places. And this is basically what we've seen in the last days. The bees are dying. Typhoons in the Philippines. The Ebola outbreak. The Zika outbreak. I got Zika. I survived. Not that it would affect me because I wasn't a woman. Or I wasn't pregnant. But you can see the terrorism, how it's, you know, everybody's in fear. Las Vegas shooting took more than 50 people in a matter of minutes. Years of disaster. The question is, what time is it? One more thing to watch for. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end then will come. In 1800, the Bible was in fewer than 70 languages. Christianity in Africa was growing 65% faster than the population. Christianity in South America is growing 4 times faster than the population, and it's growing by the hundreds of thousands in India. There are 85 million Christians in communist China, where people thought it was impossible to preach. The word of God is getting to them. The question again is, what time is it? Doesn't it seem like it's time to go home? Am I ready for Jesus' second coming? So when we see all of these diseases and schools shutting down and all of this happening, it's not for us to be afraid and to be scared, but for us to open our eyes spiritually. If you remember my last sermon, open our eyes, Lord, to see that everything that's happening is God telling us. Just if you're praying, keep praying and probably pray even more. If you're studying the Bible, keep studying the Bible and probably study more. If we are preaching to the people out there who are lost and don't know about God, this is the time for us to keep preaching and to give them hope, not fear. Because we do nothing when we do make people to come to Jesus based on fear feelings, because once everything is gone and they feel comfortable, goodbye, God, I don't need you anymore. But when we come to Jesus because we love him and because we understand the Bible and because we understand that he's calling us to always be ready, no matter what's going on in the world, we'll always be close to him and we'll always be ready. I want to finish the sermon today with a song. And then we're going to pray. There are connect cards. I don't know if there's connect cards. I'm going to read the questions for you. You can raise your hand if you want. We're not going to pass them out. Three questions are, number one, even if the world is falling apart, I have peace and I know God takes care of me. You believe that? Number two, I need to be ready for Jesus' second coming. We all need to be ready for that. Number three, I want to receive the joy that comes from Jesus, which no one can take away. No one can take away our peace and the joy that only Jesus Christ can give to us. Let us sing this beautiful song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
You are
God's people say? Amen. Let us stand up together and read on John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, and meditate on that promise, that beautiful promise, when Jesus said that he will go to heaven and then come back for us one more time. If you know it by memory, you can say it. If you don't know, and there's Bibles in front of you, you can look at John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I will have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, where you may be also." Amen. God bless you, church. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And we receive this promise. We know the world is in fear, and all the signs tell us that your coming is near. And we believe in this promise in this morning, and we know that you'll help us to be ready for your second coming. Bless every member of this church, every person who's visiting with us today, every friend who's watching the live stream. Just be with us, bless us, protect us, give us health, and just help us to be ready for your second coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.